you this morning for the opportunity you have given us to gather as one body. God, I ask now that you would guide me to speak the word that you have laid on my heart. God, these students have so excellently led us in worship and brought us to this point. And now, Lord, I ask that I would speak nothing that isn't from you. God, anoint this congregation to continue the work that you have started in us. We ask these things in your name. Amen. You may be seated. The title of my message this morning is, Can These Bones Live Again? Our theme this morning is Where We Belong. And as I was preparing my message this morning, there were many ways to approach this Where We Belong. And I believe that God laid this passage of Scripture on my heart, this vision that Ezekiel has that many of us are familiar with, where he sees a valley of dry bones. And what happens next is nothing short of baffling to many people that have read this and tried to understand it. We know that God tells them to speak to the bones and the bones come to life. But this morning I want us to go back. I want us to start with Ezekiel's life. Ezekiel, he's an interesting character in the Bible. You see, Ezekiel is a trained priest. Yet because of his current location, because of his current situation, Ezekiel's training, Ezekiel's career, his upbringing, it is all absolutely useless. You see, Ezekiel finds himself in a situation that is completely out of his control. He and his people, the children of Israel, are in exile. First the Assyrian Empire, and now the Babylonians have displaced them far from their homeland. There are no temples for Ezekiel to practice being a priest. There are no tabernacles for him to do his priestly duties. Ezekiel had a plan. He had goals. He had dreams. He worked for these things. And from what we can gather in Scripture, life happened, things changed, and now the prophet Ezekiel, the priest Ezekiel, must wonder, where is it that I belong, if I belong at all in this life? This simple background information, I believe, many of us can relate to. Plans have been made. Time has been invested. We have worked for something and life happens. Something happens, knocks us off our course, and we stand there asking the question, where in the world do I belong? Where do I belong? But God, in Ezekiel's life, it seems, has another purpose. Something different that Ezekiel never could have foresaw. God has a purpose in Ezekiel's life, and he calls him to be a prophet to his people while they are in exile. Ezekiel prepared and planned to be a priest, working in the tabernacle, making the sacrifices, burning the incense. God has a new purpose for Ezekiel in his new location. Our passage of Scripture this morning is a prophetic vision or experience that God allows Ezekiel to have. It's been preached many different ways, but this morning I want to use this story of the dry bones as sort of a metaphor. I want to use it as a metaphor for where we are as a church, the Conyers First United Methodist Church, where we are as this one church, this local body, and this community of Conyers. Some of the things that we have been experiencing in the midst of a changing community, and some of the things that I believe we have to look forward to by faith. So for many of us, there is a question that God asked Ezekiel that may really hit home. I know for me in my life, the question, it seems, is the same, but the words are different. And that question is this: can these bones live? It's this impossible question that whenever I'm at the end of my rope, whenever all of my plans have been exhausted, whenever I don't know what to do next, God seems to ask this question: can these bones live? Can you get through this? Can you make it? Will it be better? What's going to happen next? Will these bones live? This is an impossible question that if we use our intellect to answer, we'll simply say, no, these bones can't live. They're bones. In fact, if you remember the passage of Scripture, the writer even goes as far to say they were dry bones. These bones have been here for a long time. And so here's God is asking this question. this impossible question of Ezekiel, can these bones live? In my life, I know there have been many times where I've faced this very similar question. And in my mind, I want to say no. But somehow or another, I muster up enough faith to say, okay, God, maybe there is a test here. Maybe there is an outcome that you have that I cannot be aware of. And so I believe that, once again, Ezekiel has the perfect response to God. Ezekiel says, Sovereign Lord, you alone know. God, I don't know. Only you know. Only you know, God. And so many times in my life, I've come to a point where God has asked the question, can these bones live? And the best, my very best, 100% good Christian boy answer is, God, only you know. Because I can't tell the future. I don't know if these bones can live. I don't know if this situation is going to get better. I don't know if I'm going to get through this. And so my best response is similar to Ezekiel's, and that is, God, only you know. Only you know, God. And so this morning, as I use this story that many of us know of the dry bones and the desert floor as a metaphor for our church, I believe that as the Conyers First Methodist Church, we have experienced a very similar moment where this question, it would seem, of can these bones live have been asked to us. Now, the words have been changed, and I want to emphasize this morning that I'm only using this as a metaphor. And so, as we look at this, I'm going to compare and contrast the church versus the dry bones. The dry bones being the changing community, the things that have happened out of our control that have kind of put us, it seems, at a learning curve, kind of behind the curve. And so we're playing catch up. And so I'm going to be referring to the dry bones as the changing community, but I'm not simply saying that our community is dry bones. So I want to let you know that I'm using this as a metaphor this morning. And so when I think about the Conyers First Methodist Church and I think about this can these bones live question, I hear questions come up sort of like, can we reach this community? Do we still have a purpose as we sit here on Main Street? Is this it or is there more? Do we even belong here anymore? And I believe this morning, churches, we stand in a valley of bones, in a community that has changed faster than we could have planned or prepared for, that our response can simply be, Sovereign Lord, you alone know. God, you only know. And so with that answer, for our best church boy, best Christian answer, the best thing I can muster up is, God, only you know. I invite you to dive into this passage of Scripture with me, and let's look at what takes place in Ezekiel's life as he has this vision. We're reading from Ezekiel chapter 37. If you want to find it in your Bible, I'm going to go through the whole story section at a time. And so I'm going to start with a section that I would entitle the prophesying section. For me, the word prophecy and prophetic and prophesying, it's a word that I personally shy away from because I've seen it misused so many times in modern church world. You see so many people that will say that a prophetic spirit has told me to tell you to do this. And so I personally shy away from this. And I really did not want to get into this, but I felt like God laid it on my heart to go in this direction. And so beginning in verse 4, then God said to me, prophesy to these bones and say to them, dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. This is what the sovereign Lord says to these bones. I will make breath enter you and you will come to life. I will attach tendons to you and make flesh come upon you and cover you with skin. I will put breath in you and you will come to life. Then you will know that I am the Lord. On Easter Sunday, 2 years ago, 2015, a group of Conyers First members and Conyers First staff stood in front of this congregation, and they were commissioned to embark on a journey of finding a vision for our church. I was privileged to be a part of this vision team, and the journey that we embarked on caused us to look inwardly. It caused us to ask the question, who have we been in this community? And who will we continue to be through Christ? And as we looked at this, and as we dug way back, and we looked at what is a continuing theme, what is a continuing purpose for our church, we realized that we have always had a heart for this community. We have always been a church that kind of put action to our faith outside of these walls. We have always been involved in this local Conyers community. And so with much prayer and many, many meetings, we came up with a statement. And it wasn't until I was preparing this message that I've ever seen this statement in this light. But the statement that we came up with, and I'm sure you've heard it by now, is that we feel at Conyers First Methodist that we are bringing the hope and healing of Christ to our community one life at a time. Have y'all heard that? I think we've been saying it a lot in the past year or so, that we're bringing the hope and healing of Christ to our community one life at a time. And as I was preparing this message, and I was thinking about belonging and if we belong and where we belong, and I thought about Ezekiel, who must, in his own personal struggle, really question, why did I spend all those years studying the Torah? Why have I done all of this for to simply be an exile? And then he has this moment where God tells him, prophesy to these bones. And I thought about it, church, and I feel like this statement, bringing the hope and healing of Christ to our community, this is our prophetic statement that God has spoken through us. I believe it is a prophetic moment for us that we are speaking to the dry bones that we have a purpose in this changing community. We are speaking prophetically that there are lives that we will touch in this community. There is hope, there is healing that we are going to take to this community. It doesn't matter if the life seems impossible or if it isn't a life that we know how to reach. We as a church, as a one body, have collectively agreed that we are called to bring the hope and healing of Christ to our community. So we already have begun speaking prophetically these words to the valley of dry bones around us. So I believe this is step one. As I prepared this message, it became so clear to me that all the preparation, all of the planning, all of the hours that went into this vision meeting, the time that it took sitting, sometimes arguing, sometimes, I see Joanne back there laughing, sometimes the meetings got heated, sometimes we just had extreme cohesion, sometimes we had extreme division, but ultimately God brought us together, and through all of that, for the first time, and I'll be honest with you, church, I've wrestled over the past year because I want it to happen fast. I want it to happen quick. I've wondered, did we waste our time? Have we lost the vision? Was it worth it? But church, I believe that God, we have had an Ezekiel moment where God spoke prophetically through us to this community. We have made a statement to those around us, whether they've heard it or not, that we are coming. We're coming with the hope and we're coming with the healing of Christ. And I believe that was step one in us finding where we belong in this community. So that brings us to the next part of Ezekiel's experience. Step one is nice and neat. It makes sense. We can speak positive things. We can have positive plans. But verse 7 says, so I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I was prophesying, there was a noise, a rattling sound. And the bones came together, bone to bone. I looked, and tendons and flesh appeared on them, and skin covered them, but there was no breath in them. Now this is where it gets a little weird, I think. And so bones come together, and flesh and tendons, and it seems like something out of a B-horror movie as you're watching, or Indiana Jones, when the guy's face melts off. It's like, what's going on here, God? Why is Ezekiel seeing this happen in reverse? But I believe this morning that also, just as we have already prophetically spoken to our community, I believe that we have already begun to experience some bones rattling, coming together, some tendons and flesh being put on the vision that God has given us. For instance, a couple weeks ago on a Saturday morning at Pine Street Elementary, some of you were there, some of you were not, we gathered for an egg hunt with 350 other people from our community, people that we have never met before. People that looked differently than us. Some of them spoke different languages than us. For many of us, it was an exciting time. And for some of us, it may have felt overwhelming. Melissa. But on that Saturday morning, as we met at the Pine Street Elementary, there were so many people there, so many different families that were represented. And the following week, I sat in Melissa's office, and we sorted through the registration cards, and I put them in three stacks. One of our Conyers First folks, people that identified that they already have a church, and people that identified that they don't have a church home but would like more information. And as we sorted through these registration cards, I began to see that last stack get bigger and bigger and bigger. More and more names and telephone numbers and addresses and email addresses of people who have said to us, Conyers First Methodist, we don't have a church home. We're interested in more information. And so I thought about the egg hunt again, and I thought about it while children were hunting eggs, bones began to rattle. As people were in line waiting to get a picture with the Easter bunny, there was flesh and tendons coming on bones. Every week when we do Meals on Wheels or Shelley's Kids or the homeless ministry, dry bones begin to move in this community. Bones begin to come together. This summer, the youth are planning a series that's going to meet on Wednesday mornings. Our hope is that our kids will come out and they'll have a good time, but our biggest goal in this is that they will bring someone with them. We're looking at this as the work that we do in the community, the activities that we put on, the things that we do that may bring and attract new people. This is bones coming together. I believe the bones coming together is the legwork. It's that messy faith, putting action to what we believe, loving the community, bringing that hope and healing to them. You know, we may have not had a single person that checked a box saying that they gave their heart to God at the egg hunt. But I promise you, church, that in the same way that Ezekiel saw these bones come together and flesh and tendons cover them, we experience bones coming together at an Easter egg hunt and every morning when we deliver meals and this summer when we pack lunches and when teenagers come out on Wednesday mornings this summer and for some team competitions, we are experiencing bones coming together. The rattling of bones. So what about the breath? What about that getting it over the edge moment? You see, we can do all of this work in the community, but what did Ezekiel say at the end of that passage? He said, the skin covered them, but there was no breath in them. Okay, so what's Ezekiel thinking at this point? Okay, God, I prophesied to the bones. The bones have come together. Now I've got a whole bunch of dead men laying in front of me. They might have been standing, they may have been laying, who knows? So what about the breath? In verse 9, it says, then he said to me, prophesy to the breath, prophesy, son of man, and say to it, this is what the sovereign Lord says, come breath from the four winds and breathe into these slain that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and breath entered them. They came to life, stood up on their feet, a vast army. I believe this morning that the breath being breathed can be seen in the success stories. Those one life at a time moments. Those one life at a times where 350 people come out to an egg hunt, but five families come back on Sunday morning for the Easter party in kids' church. I believe that the breath of God is when lives are changed. When our church is able to walk along someone and see the life change. But this part of the story isn't necessarily in the future. I believe this morning that we are already experiencing life being breathed into the lives in our community. I have the unique opportunity of working with these amazing teenagers that have led us this morning. Sometimes I think that they get things way before we do. A lot of times when it comes to this building relationships, this one life at a time, as adults, we're like wallflowers at the senior prom, and these kids are just diving in to make connections, to make friends, to get to know people. They bring their friends to church. They are about the life-breathing moments. Diamond Height. Diamond, will you stand up and wave to everybody? Diamond Height is our resident life breather. When we have a new student, especially, yeah. When we have a new student, especially if it's a girl, all I have to do is ask her to go and make them welcome, and it's as if Diamond has a new best friend. She just brings the joy of God to them. Another story, just this semester, a guy and his younger sister came walking by the church on a Wednesday night. Melissa Carter called out to him, invited them to come, and now they've been coming for 3 weeks now. The first thing they said when they walked in is, "Hey, there's Diamond." I'm telling you, she's the life breather. I can't make this stuff up. I got a couple more stories that I want to share this morning. One of my favorite stories is one of Sailor. Sailor, do you mind standing up and waving to everybody? Sailor. Sailor and her mom, a few years ago on Halloween, they had come down to Old Town, and they had been a part of y'all's wild Halloween celebration. Here's the beastiest thing I've ever seen. And they got a free hot dog at the Presbyterian Church. Well, a few months rolled by, and Easter Sunday was approaching, and Sailor's mom felt that it was time to come to church. She felt God leading them to go to church, and so they made up their mind to go to the church that gave them the hot dog, but they went to the wrong church. And thank God that they went to the wrong church, because we've been having them now for over a year, and I can't imagine our youth group without Sailor. I have another student this morning, Rhea. Where are you at, Rhea? Rhea read our intercessory prayer this morning. The first year that we sold corn at the Old Town Fall Festival, at the very end of the day, we were tired. We were running out of corn. Rhea's mom comes up to me and says, "What is this? What group is this?" I said, "Well, we're the youth group at the First Methodist Church down the street." And she asked me a few more questions. She said, "Well, can my daughter come?" And I said, "Well, sure." And 3 years later, Rhea's been ever since. And guys, these are the life-breathing moments that are happening in our church. Sometimes we're asked, can these bones live? And all we can see is dry bones in front of us, when all along the journey, God is giving us these life-breathing moments. I wonder this morning, are we looking? Are we keen to the fact that even though our community is changing around us, and even though sometimes when we look at the change within our body, and we look at the change within our community, we become overwhelmed. I wonder if we take time to celebrate those moments where God breathes life into this church, when God breathes life into the dry bones, when people that we once did not know now have come into our fellowship and become a part of us. I believe this morning that as we continue to go and bring Christ to this community that has changed so drastically around us, that bones will begin to shake and rattle, come together, be clothed with flesh. God will bring that finishing touch of breathing life into their situations. I believe this, church. I genuinely believe it is happening, and it is going to happen on a scale that is going to blow our minds. And the same rate that this community and church has changed, and how drastic and how frightening it may seem, God is going to blow life into this community through this church in such a way that we're not even going to, we probably won't even be prepared for the people that's going to happen. I believe it. And I love verse 10, because it didn't say that Ezekiel looked out and saw a couple men. It didn't say he looked out and saw 100 men. It said he saw a vast army of living, breathing men that 5 minutes later were dry bones laying on a desert floor. One Sunday we may be in here and we may look around and say, "Well, where did so-and-so go? Where they've all moved. They've all gone away." And you may be going down West Avenue or somewhere in this community and you may say, "Well, this has changed so much. What has happened?" And in the blink of an eye, this church may be filled with a vast army of this community that has been breathed into with the breath of God. I believe this morning that the vision that God has given us is a prophetic vision. It is a vision that is moving us into this community, that is breathing life into this community, and that is answering the question that we may be asking, can these bones live again? But this question is not an easy question for us to just get past. The community is still drastically different than what we are used to. In the past, we have been a church who has successfully reflected the community, but there wasn't this much of a difference. There wasn't this much of a gap. There weren't so many unknowns. This is quite the learning curve that we have before us. I wonder if this is really where we belong. Or I wonder if here is really where they belong. So this is where I want to tie it all together with the where we belong. I believe Ezekiel has a very similar question that is dictating his life. Where do we belong, God? Why are we in exile? Why are we not in the land that you promised us? In verse 11, it says, "Then he said to me, 'Son of man, these bones are the people of Israel. They say our bones are dried up and our hope is gone. We are cut off. Therefore, prophesy and say to them, this is what the sovereign Lord says. My people, I am going to open your graves and bring you up from them. I will bring you back to the land of Israel. Then you, my people, will know that I am the Lord. When I open your graves and bring you up from them, I will put my spirit in you and you will live. And I will settle you in your own land. Then you will know that I, the Lord, have spoken and I have done it, declares the Lord." God, where do we belong? He tells Ezekiel, "I'll take care of where you belong. I'm going to put you back in the land that I promised you." At the end of this prophecy, God brings it all together for Ezekiel. God, we are in captivity. I'm sure this is glooming. This has been heavy on Ezekiel's mind. Things have been pretty gloom for some time now. I'm sure Ezekiel thinks, "You keep speaking through me, but we keep staying in the same place. I keep hearing your word, but things aren't changing around us. God, we're as good as dead men. What are we without the land that you have promised us?" And I believe God answers this question, and he makes it plain to him in verse 12 that he will put them back where they belong. If we're honest this morning, church, the question of where we belong in light of our church is a question that keeps us up at night. Do we still belong here in Old Town? Do we still have a purpose in this community? Do the people in this community, will they ever come in here? Are we going to have to change for them to come in here? All of these where we belong questions, God's saying, "You don't worry about the where we belong. You prophesy. You speak to the community. You take the hope and healing to the community. I will handle where things belong." And I believe this is what he made clear for Ezekiel, and I believe that he is making it clear for us as a church. God is in the business of putting things where they belong. We don't have to worry about what we're going to have to do or what they're going to have to do or will they fit in or will we fit in or am I still going to like it? Don't worry about that. If you truly believe that God has put the Conyers First Methodist here on Main Street in Old Town to reach the community around us, then what God has called us to do is to speak, to prophesy to our community. Speak this vision to them. Let's go with the hope and the healing of Christ. Let's reach as many families. Let's rattle some bones in this community with the work that we do for God. Let's stand amazed when the sailors and the Rias and the diamonds are active and alive in our church and we have these new faces and these new people that we never would have imagined would grace our church. And then let's leave the sorting, the where things belong, let's leave that to God. If we can't let go of this part, it will keep us up at night. It will consume us. I am a person that stays in my head. And it isn't until I get out of my head that I can actually begin to do things. I'm sure there are different types of people, but for me, I think and overthink and overthink things. And sometimes I won't act. We have a Sunday morning worship service that the youth do at 10:30. I had thought about this thing for almost an entire year. And I made the mistake of bringing it up to my wife and Melissa at Glisten a year ago. And they said, "Well, we're doing it." So they made me get out of my head. And a year later, it has been a super successful thing. We went from having a few kids, two or three kids on Sunday mornings, to 20 and 25 every Sunday morning. And I say that this morning just to simply tell you that allow yourself the freedom of not worrying about the belonging question. Who belongs where? Do we even belong? Let go of that. Let's walk into the vision that God has given us. bringing that hope and healing to this community. I believe that we are strategically where we belong for this time, not only for the history of our church, but I believe for the history of this community. God is already putting everything in its place. He is putting us where we belong. Amen.